You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. The National Championship is over! And the winners, once again, Nick Saban. And the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I mean, with all the talking that we've been doing the past couple days, a week or so, about coaching and guys like Andy Reid and recycling and rehashing, once again, you see the top coach in football make a move so gutsy, so bold, so cool, so fresh. No. pulling his quarterback, 25-2, who's thrown, what, one interception this season, for a true freshman in the second half. And the true freshman goes out there and wins the game in overtime. Bold, gutsy call by Nick Saban. The football gods love stuff like that. Congratulations to the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Tua for the win.
There you go.
Look, he got...
Sure.
After Georgia hit that field goal, 51-yarder, I mean, shout out to that kicker. I mean, college kicker hitting a 51-yarder in that spot.
That's
was money.
Big,
we saw what the Bama kicker did at the end
of the what an extra point.
So, I mean, that was... And then he gets sacked on the first play.
Mm-hmm.
True freshman. True freshman sacked in the first play. And the poise that he had on that play, the way he looked off the safety and everything, and the throw. The throw was on
and you
the
know,
money.
And you know on that play, like, this is a kid that hasn't played all year. And he must have worked on that play in practice where, seriously, as I'm looking into the camera right now, he stared at the safety over here. I mean, he just stared at him. One, Mississippi. Two, Mississippi. Three, Mississippi. Four, Mississippi. And then he just... He doesn't even look at the freshman down the sideline. He just lets it go.
Well, now, let me ask you a question. Being that they're both freshmen, they probably worked
together
on this.
Absolutely.
You know,
like, it's like
they definitely were in spring ball together.
Yeah, you know,
so they probably
absolutely
started that rapport. They got together. They probably got that in spring ball. Now, the other kid was probably on the field more throughout the course of the regular season.
Sure.
But in spring ball, there probably was a rapport that was already being put in place.
To quote Michael Salfino, that number six looks fast.
Yes.
That was a good tweet.
He does. So it was a good game. You saw the NFL talent on the field. All of those dudes had big games. Roquan Smith with some nice plays. He'll be a first-round guy. Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, Marlon Michel, showing his worth. Ridley didn't have the greatest game, but Ridley did
score a big touchdown.
He got that big touchdown.
Ridley did score the touchdown to tie the game up.
I like Joe Lisi's... his breakdown on Ridley yesterday, pretty much saying he's an AB style guy.
Well, I was about to ask you guys about Calvin Ridley from an NFL draft perspective. Like, he doesn't seem like a Julio Jones type of guy to me.
No, but like Lisi said he's in between Cooper and Julio.
Okay.
So he's more like a style like Antonio Brown, that type of player right there. So he'll be, it looks like there's a lot of teams hot on him, particularly the Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens.
Both teams that have early first round picks that could make the selection to bring in Calvin Ridley from Alabama as their wide receiver. We'll talk more about the national championship games, some NFL headlines, including AB's return this weekend. So some NBA coming your way as well. It's Roto Experts, it's Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
I want to ask this. There we go. Yeah, I have no idea what's happening at the moment.
This is from the Get Rich or Die Trying soundtrack.
Yeah.
Gangsta. Shout out to 50 Cent. I don't know why.
All that vitamin water money.
Oh, yeah. 50 Cent. He may not be selling no records no more, but he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. He's well taken care of.
That's crazy, man. Vitamin water thing. All right. So, could any coach get away with what Nick Saban did last night outside of Nick Saban?
And win or you lose?
Because if he lost,
he would have got away with it.
No problem. No problem.
He would have got away with it.
But for me, he had to make that move. That quarterback was terrible. They had under 100 yards. They couldn't move the ball. They knew exactly, you couldn't run those plays. And the fact that they were down 13-0, you needed to put touchdowns on the board. This kid wasn't going to get it done.
Yes, I agree with that. This was a little bit different, Matt. This is a kid that hasn't played all year, right? This isn't like, all right, we've gone back and forth between quarterbacks.
But
I don't know.
Here's the thing. Like, when you listen to the postgame, that interview, he pretty much said he's the better thrower, and I knew we had to throw the ball. So he basically, Alabama's pretty much was, our defense is going to win.
Yeah.
We'll run the ball. As long as we don't turn the ball over, we have a very good shot at winning games.
But that's why it's a bold move, because the quarterback you replace was 25-2 as a starter doesn't turn the football over.
Right.
So that's why it was a bold.
But the difference was you were down 13-0 against a very good defense, and you had to take shots in the air. So that's why, to me, look, you said it yesterday. Remember you said yesterday, I hate to say it,
he sucks.
25-2, he sucks. I'm saying it. So,
Not too many. I mean, if you compare that to an NFL level, that's more or less like taking Alex Smith out the game after the first half and putting Pat Mahomes in there in the damn Super Bowl. That's basically what I can kind of equate that to.
Yeah, this kid just wasn't good. I mean, if you put Fromm on Alabama's team this year,
oh, they'd have been undefeated.
You know what I'm saying? And he's a freshman, so I mean, he was just a product of that environment. They were able to survive with that. The one game against Mississippi State, late
Calvin Ridley won balled that game. Yeah,
he put the team on his back, and he caught the. It wasn't like Hurts was throwing deep passes. He caught the ball and run after the catch.
Yeah. So when you look at it, it's a tough move. I mean, very few could do that. You have to have a lot of cachet in order to be able to pull that off. You got to have a lot of guts in order to be able to pull that off. But that's the type of stuff that the football gods like.
He was very classy, though, Hurts. I will say that.
No, he was.
That was a tough spot. It felt bad that they interviewed him after the game.
Yeah, I know.
It's really hard for a kid like that to be
benched.
He basically said all the right things, but it's not something I was comfortable even watching. I felt bad.
It's interesting. At the end of, before the kid missed the field goal, it was Hurts that came back in to take that final snap and get down at the right hash mark and make sure there's no fumble on the snap. They put Hurts back in there for that.
Not to turn the ball over.
Well, not even that. It was because of the clock management, too. Because he wanted that play wrong. And look, you get it. This kid just came in. He's playing his first two.
Yeah.
And he was not managing the clock. That was the only bad thing
did. At one point during the game, he had did something wrong, and he came to the sideline, and Saban was getting on him, and he just kind of threw his arm around Saban like, I got this, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, this kid got a little
moxie.
Yeah, a little moxie with him, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, he was very cool.
Brilliant to bench your starting quarterback. That's big-time stuff right there.
And the crazy thing
Nick
was,
Saban's the man.
The crazy thing was, he comes out on the first drive and scores a touchdown. Everyone's singing his praises. Next drive, there was like a horrible interception.
And then they get it right back.
that was the play.
That was key
they
right there.
They got that ball.
Correct.
And that tip hit, look, it's Bama's defense. So
yeah.
I don't know.
He threw it off the guy's helmet, and it popped into the air, and then you're right back in the ball game. And I'm like, wow, this is, going down to the last possession.
Because he throws his interception, and it was almost really like the touchdown later on where he tried to throw a guy open and there was just no one there. He threw into traffic and the only guy looking at the ball was the defender.
It was three Georgia defenders over there.
It was
a terrible
decision. And I watched that and I'm like, all right, that's going to be the reason they lose because he's going to make decisions like this.
And then Fromm comes and gives it right back.
Right back.
Right back. Mm-hmm.
Right back.
Atlanta's a cursed sports city. I mean, I know Athens is not as an hour away, but that's a cursed sports town right there.
The Braves won some championships.
They won one.
With the best pitching staff ever.
The Bills of football. They won one. You know, they got that one. But the they should have been.
When the Hawks would have won seed a couple years ago,
everybody knew the Hawks had no chance.
Yeah.
The Braves versus the Yankees had that 2-0 lead. Yep. It looked like that was going to be over in the next four.
By the way, I read some weird thing on Twitter earlier today that basically said every time Saban wins a national championship, LeBron wins a championship.
Oh, boy. That's not good.
What's crazy?
That's not good, Dub Nation.
The Cavaliers are the worst team versus the point spread in the NBA this year.
That's wild.
And they got throttled last night by Minnesota.
That game was a pick 'em going into it last night.
So I think Boston's the best team or one of the best. I know the Eastern Conference has the top two teams against the spread.
Interesting. Interestingly enough, we're going to, after the break, we're going to get into some basketball from last night. I thought the game was really fun. Another really good championship game. We got a few really good championship games in a row now in college football with two Clemson-Alabama games, now Alabama versus Georgia in that SEC-type championship game. That worked out well as well.
So we should just put Alabama in the national championship game every year? Well, it's always a good game.
You basically do.
Yeah, no, I'm saying.
I mean, the NCAA has a good product right now. This playoff has nailed it. You just. I mean, I hate to say it this way because I enjoy it so much, but you just kind of want the other conferences to be able to you know, show more in these big time games. Any of these big time games, you're ACC team.
Yeah.
So maybe every now and then you want ACC versus Big Ten. I don't know. Make it fair.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's just have Alabama face Kentucky. I don't know what sport, but let's have Alabama face Kentucky and something.
Yeah, no, you do want to see the best teams play.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Bama deserved to be one of the top four teams.
And they obviously proved that by winning that national championship.
Shout out to Nick Saban. And how you say the kid name that won the game, Tua?
Tua. I haven't been calling him Tua because it's his first name.
Okay, his last name is not.
Tua for the win.
Okay, there you go.
It's actually not that hard. It's literally written as it sounds. It's Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua Tagovailoa.
No, I said that wrong. Yeah. Tagovailoa. That's what it is.
Tua
Tagovailoa.
Tua T. We just call him Tua T.
Tua T.
T.
Yeah. I like that.
Tua
I like
T.
I like what we're doing there.
Good. We got it.
Yeah.
Write that down, Don Burns. Tua T. So when we talk about him next time, we know we got a nickname for him already. Get that one to Spitting Speeds, too.
So I read a crazy story. With Tanya Harding in the news.
That movie's out, right?
I saw the movie.
How was it?
Yeah, I
liked it. I liked it a lot. I think you're laughing at me because I saw that movie.
No, I just didn't. Where'd you see it at?
Went to the movie theater?
You went to the movie theaters and saw that. Wow.
Oh, you know, I went. It was a blizzard in like December, so it was like a good day to go see a movie.
No, that's true, but you know, I just would have went to something else. But I do want to see it too.
I didn't even know it was that. Otherwise, I would have went to see it.
I don't think it was so crazy.
No, there's nothing crazy about it. If I was in the movie,
as long as there's pretzel salt and pretzel bites, I'd rather watch
it at home. We had popcorn. We didn't have salt and pretzel bites. They were out.
It was a wee thing. Okay.
Do you not go to movies?
Rarely go to movies. Yeah. To the theater, I'd rather wait to see it.
For Disaster Artist, I had a copy of it. I watched it at home.
That's cool. I'd have joined you.
By the way,
I watched Molly's Game at home also.
Yeah.
And we made our own popcorn, threw some M&Ms in that.
Nice.
By the way, how about James Franco taking that man's fame?
Can you believe
the
that?
One chance of fame, this guy. I was always wondering when I lived in LA. I would always see that damn billboard.
Right.
I'm like, what the hell is this?
Right.
I never even paid attention to it. And the guy finally calls him up, gives him a chance to say a word.
I can't believe I was waiting to let him say. He calls him up. I thought he was going to give his speech and let Tommy speak.
And gave him the arm.
He gave him the arm.
Stiff arm.
Gave him the arm. I could not believe that. This dude better speak at the Oscars. You know, screw who cares about the Golden Globes.
Well, he got to meet Oprah, so.
He got to meet Oprah. And Franco does the impression right next to him.
Yeah, I don't know. That was
like, he was like, oh, if Tommy was here, this is what he would say. He is here. He's standing next to you. Anyway, so you know the whole Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing.
That was wild.
Speaking
of the Olympics coming up next month.
So a Japanese kayaker, this is a true story, so he has been this morning. A Japanese kayaker has been banned from competition for the next 8 years because he spiked the drink of a rival.
That's wild.
So he would fail a doping test.
That's wild. That's what happened with the homeboy. What was the Canadian racer and track and field dude?
Oh, you're talking. I know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, his drink was spiked too.
They had
he spiked it with a steroid.
Yeah,
he had great Nike sneakers. The American.
Yeah. So this is a thing, spiking people's drinks so they can fail drug tests.
It's crazy.
Something and bend something.
Yeah, those two guys. He had the 30 for 30 came out years later. He got his drink spiked. That's why he failed that drug test.
That's insane. That's wild. Insane.
Listen, that's people go hard though. People go hard in athletics.
What was that topic that's not talked about enough? How much sex goes on in the Olympics?
Oh, that's talked about a lot. Okay. Let's talk about
between that, between the athletes.
We're gonna have like 2 weeks, 17 days to talk about it.
People come back from the Olympics pregnant. You've been like,
it's a good time for a break. It's a good time for a break. And we're gonna do just that. We'll come back. We'll talk a little NBA with you, some of the injuries from last night, some of the big stories from last night. We'll do it when we come back. It's Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Now on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, I want to talk a little NBA with you here. Last night, Kyle Lowry left that game for the Raptors with back injury. Had to be helped off the floor by his teammates. It seems like they call it back spasms after the game, Corey, so it doesn't seem like it's uber serious. You never want to see your teammates literally like carry you off.
No,
That's
a situation that you don't want to see right there, especially from one of your top players getting carried off the field like that. The back injuries are very serious. You got to take your back serious because, I mean, obviously, it hurts, and then you can't walk and stuff like that. You can't play either. So, but still, 38 minutes last night for Lowry, 18 points, but it's going to be interesting to see how this injury plays out. And those plays are very dangerous when you get undercut like that because sometimes you can take real, real nasty spills. Like, it's one thing when you're like a Buffalo Bill fan and you're jumping.
Yeah.
But you're bracing yourself for that landing.
Correct.
When you're an NBA player, you go up and you get undercut, you're not really bracing yourself for
sure.
That.
Sure. Makes sense.
unless somebody put a table under you, then whatever.
What was real scary was when like Bill Laimbeer was in the NBA and he was just taking people out.
On purpose. Yes.
He had a video game called Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. Yeah. That's how crazy that guy was.
He knew what he was doing. Alan Crabb went to the locker room last night. He had a lower left leg injury, hit the game-tying shot for the Nets. Then he got hurt. And what do you know, Corey? Anthony Davis sprains his ankle.
This guy right here is one of the best talents in the NBA, Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. but he cannot stay on the field.
Never.
It's always something with him. Listen, we talked about it. Big dudes like that, you're not really supposed to be that big, son. Mm-hmm. So that's why you'd be banged up all the time.
It's always the ankle or the feet or whatever.
It's so much to carry around.
Yeah. DeMarcus Cousins had 20 points in that game for the Pelicans, 16 of which came after Anthony Davis left the game. The final line for Boogie Cousins, 20-10 in a win against the Pistons. Pelicans moving to over 500. They're 20-19 as they try to push for the playoffs.
Good win for them last night. Mm-hmm. This was not on the road. This was at home. This Piston team has been playing well. I'm curious, how many Boogie played 40 minutes last night. Mm-hmm. How many has his technical foul thing gotten better, Boogie Cousins?
Good question.
Because we haven't really heard too much about it this season. Obviously, it was one of the reasons why you had to avoid Boogie in DFS because you never really knew when he was going to get thrown out the game. That's crazy. I can't play you because you might get ejected.
That was real for a time.
That was real, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, let's see. So I'm looking at technical foul. Oh, my. He has this many already? Not Boogie. Oh, he has a lot too. Draymond's got 11.
I was about to say, I know Draymond Green got 11.
He only had like 15, so he missed a game, right? Huh? I think it's like 15, then you miss a game.
Yeah, but Draymond Green is always talking to the officials, and he's always screaming at the refs and stuff like that. So I figured Draymond Green would be up there. Where's Boogie at?
He's tied for second.
He has 11 too?
He's got 8.
He's got 8. Who has the other person with 8?
I'll see if he can get it. It's interesting. So Draymond's 1. Boogie is tied for second with 8. With who?
Hmm. 8 technical fouls already. LeBron James.
Not LeBron James.
LeVar Ball.
That was awesome. That was very good. It was very, very good.
Steph Curry?
No, that is not Steph Curry.
I know he had a couple of nasty moments this season.
Steph Curry's like an 8 technical fouls.
But no, they're not going to tee him up 8 times.
Come on.
Who would be Zach Randolph?
No, it's actually Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant's
a crybaby.
Yeah, that image he's got. Look, I don't blame the guy for going to Golden State. 30.
No,
he took a lot of heat for that, which, you know, I don't care. If I was him, yeah, I want to go there and want to win.
Yeah,
but the way he's handled it,
it's been bad.
Been immature. Yeah. Like, didn't he create his own account?
Create a fake account to argue with people about who's better, him or LeBron James. That's crazy. The whole thing with the cupcake thing last year, he took that a little bit too far. You see him. You know what? Kevin Durant is not a leader. He's a follower.
I got a question in the Western Conference. How much can Minnesota threaten come playoff time? I mean, there's so many good teams there. I mean, Golden State, obviously. But then you look at, like, the Rockets, you look at the Spurs. When the Rockets will be fully healthy by then, you know, Harden should be back. But Minnesota's a nice story.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've been waiting on Minnesota to finally put it all together for a while now. And now, 26-16, you look at this team, the best part about them from, like, a fantasy perspective, you get it. You know they're only going to play, like, seven guys. All their starters play a bajillion minutes.
They're like the Steelers in fantasy football.
Correct. You know, and the only reason they didn't do it yesterday is because they crushed the Cavs. I mean, they crushed them. 127-99. You have Jimmy Butler as the leader on the offensive and the defensive end. You have Karl Anthony Towns doing his thing. Anthony Wiggins is just the shooter. Like, this team's good. This is without Jeff Teague, who's been out. Tyus Jones starting at point guard for them.
Right now, their matchup would be against the Oklahoma City Thunder. That would be a tremendous 4-5 matchup.
Fun.
That would be great, because you got the big three with Oklahoma City, and then you got this young up-and-coming team with Minnesota. If Minnesota can get past them, which they very well could, if they do get past them, that's on Russell Westbrook, because Oklahoma City should be better. The matchup more than likely next would be with the Warriors or the Spurs. The Warriors or the Rockets. They wouldn't beat Golden State, but Golden State would not beat them in 4 games. Golden State. Karl Anthony Towns he can come out on the perimeter, and that gives Golden State problems when you have big men that can come out on the perimeter and guard that pick and roll.
I want to see Celtics Cavs. I want to see Kyrie versus Braun. And I'm going to be rooting for the Celtics. I can't believe I'm saying that. But I will be rooting for the Celtics, and hopefully they play Golden State.
So last night, as I said, the Timberwolves defeated Cleveland 127-99. Mm-hmm. We're led by Andrew Wiggins, who's 25. Jimmy Butler had a very fantastic game.
Yeah, 21, all around,
21-9-8 for him. He also had 3 steals. He's been amazing. I know it took him a little while to get used to playing in Minnesota. He's a 5-tool player. He's giving you back first round of value as well in NBA fantasy drafts. He's definitely a guy you want in DFS too.
JB, an all-star, he's a guy that gets it done night in and night out. Yep. Getting, like you said, he's getting comfortable now. He might be the best 2 guard in the NBA.
Tell you what, one guy I got right this past draft season in the NBA, and you play him in DFS as well. I know you've been into it, Corey, because you've been hosting lineup lock. It's Taj Gibson, man. Taj Gibson, the best part about Thibodeau is you know he's going to play. And Taj Gibson is a Tom Thibodeau guy. So you put Taj Gibson in there, 16-13 last night against Cleveland.
Yeah, double-double for Taj Thibodeau, playing 31 minutes, 8-13 from the field. He's been getting it done. I've like never really considered him that good of a player, but he's proven me wrong.
With Tibbs,
much like Marvin Jones Jr.
I just drafted Marvin Jones Jr.
I was thinking about taking him.
I love the Diggs pick.
I was going to take him there, but I went Watson instead. Yeah. I went with MJJ there. It was between MJJ and Michael Crabtree. I was like, you know what? I can use the Crabtree. I'll take MJJ.
Here's a question. What can the Knicks do?
Oh, God.
Besides selling the team and getting James Dolan out of there, what is the piece they could do this season?
Nothing.
Nothing, right?
Nothing. Nothing. LeBron, by the way, only had 10 points last night. So you started him in DFS, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
You started him in Daily Fantasy last night. You got 10, 8, and 5. He only took 8 shots. He played 27 minutes. That is not what you want. Listen to this. He was minus 39. Minus 39 on the court last night.
Yeah, but this is like one of the. It's getting close to the time for LeBron James to take a week or two off with like
an All-Star break.
Yeah, with an ankle contusion.
Goes to Miami.
Yeah,
exactly.
Aren't they getting Thomas soon?
He's back,
but on like a full basis.
So he played night. He plays around 20 minutes a night right
and
now.
And hasn't it become to the point where it's like LeBron just be full bore come playoffs?
Yeah, that's it. You know? That's it. It's just right now.
Nobody wants to face Cleveland. Yeah,
27 minutes. Yeah. This kind of performance last night. It's getting time for LeBron to be like, you know what? I need a siesta.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to say anything.
And they should, you know.
Nobody's going to say a word.
No, they're not.
To be that kind of athlete, to have that kind of power, to go into the coach's office and be like, I'm about to take that next week and a half off.
Pacers defeated the Bucks last night, 109-96, doing this with the return of Victor Oladipo, who had 15 and 5, 3 steals, 3 rebounds as well. My man, Domantas Sabonis, has been awesome. 17 and 10 off the bench. All 5 Pacers starters were in double digits last night, while the Bucks had all 5 starters in double digits as well. They've been led, of course, normally by Giannis. Last night it was Chris Middleton, who had 19-5-4. Giannis had 17-3, a couple of steals. He went 3-8, 11-14 from the line, as they are inching closer, Corey, to getting Jabari Parker back.
Yeah, so this team is a team that's starting to come together also. But you see what Antetokounmpo did last night. Not really the big monster stat lines you normally see from him, but Chris Middleton is a player I like a lot too. He's another guy that gets it done. So this is an interesting Milwaukee Buck team right here. I don't think they're going to make, you know, they're obviously still not ready to really compete with the class of the Eastern Conference.
So I don't know, man. Like, I just think they need, if you look at this team, they just need to get healthy. You get Jabari Parker back. You got Jabari. You got Antetokounmpo. You got Chris Middleton. You got Eric Bledsoe and Malcolm Brogdon. That's a good team.
It is a good team, but that's not. They can't compete with Boston and Cleveland. And I worry about Bledsoe's health all the time.
Mm-hmm. With a 4-game slate tonight, yeah. Are you more into it, or like you feel more concentrated that you don't have to do that, or something?
I think it's a really good question. I think so. For me, I've always found myself when you get those like 4-6 game slates, I'm more into it. I think it's more fun. Mm-hmm. But it is harder for your average player because there's not so much variety. Like Everybody's going to have the same team.
Well, the thing, if somebody goes off for 50 or 60 fantasy points,
yeah, you better have them.
If you don't have them, then it's going to be tough to make that up. Also, you can't, when smaller slates, you cannot make mistakes. You have to be
correct.
You have to be spot on with your. Some people like to take the night off on smaller slates. I like to play small slates personally.
Like tonight, everybody's going to have Shabazz Napier tonight.
Yeah, because he's...
Because probably no Lillard is expected to play for Portland. And then you have OKC. Like, to me, my point guard is probably be both in that game. It would be Westbrook and Shabazz, ideally.
Yeah, you're going to have to play Russell Westbrook tonight because, yeah, like, he's the guy that can go off.
You have to have Russell in your lineup tonight. You don't have a choice, unfortunately.
Pay that 11 grand or whatever it is now.
Yeah, whatever it is now. He's got to pay me some money so I can play again. I don't want to, like, put my own money in.
Yeah. Send him an email. Oh, okay. Well, those days are over. It's way too corporate now.
Yeah. Whatever. So there you go. There's your NBA update. We do that every day. Got to go over the night before, take a look at the night ahead, and there you go. We're going to come back. We'll talk more here. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 844-843-6879. Give us a call. Ask us a question.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back with you now here on Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As we said, as you got to make your initial NBA lineups, no Damian Lillard tonight. Expect Shabazz Napier to have a nice little game for the Blazers. Jeez, two and two segments.
Dame, man. I know it's getting them. I'm racking them up.
You saved me there.
I'm racking them up in the new year. Dame Dollar. Remember we were talking about Ventra, right? Mm-hmm. And how he did a nice job coming back with his lyrics.
Rap, yeah.
With his lyrics on the other night. Dame Lillard is the best athlete / rapper ever.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's good, very good rapper. Did you know that?
Yeah, I'm up for my rap game.
Sorry, Mr. Sussman. I just thought maybe you. I didn't know why this weekend. I thought maybe you and watching that Tonya Harding story may have lost your.
Again, it was not a Tonya Harding story. It was a movie with Margot Robbie in it.
I'm just
shout out to Margot. Robbie.
Shout out to Margot Robbie.
Shout out to Margot Robbie.
You know who Margot Robbie is?
I'm about to Google her.
Enjoy that.
She's easy on the eyes.
Q, what's going on, man? He joins us now.
Oh, my man, Q. What's Margot Robbie? Images.
Hey, man, how you doing, man?
Happy New Year, Q.
What's up, Q?
What's good with you, Q?
Hey, man, doing okay. I just wanted to talk to you guys about the NCAA committee, man. When they disrespect the University of Southern Florida, man, these guys went undefeated and they beat Auburn. I can't tell how Alabama got this slot in here, man. Is it some kind of favoritism, some kind of old boy network or something? Because Wisconsin had one loss, even though they lost to the Big Ten, they not doing those guys. And I just
want
to get you guys' feedback.
I mean, Q, I said it on the program. I thought Ohio State should have been that fourth team in it, but the committee, they're going to go with that SEC team. I think more so to cause controversy, but when you look at it, when Alabama came into it, you look at the odds, what Vegas said, Alabama was the favorite just about every time. They were the favorite against the one seed
Clemson.
Only
Oklahoma would have been favorite.
Only Oklahoma would have been favorite. They come out, they win a national championship. So no matter what you say, like I said, I thought Ohio State should have been in, but it's hard to say they shouldn't have when Alabama won the whole thing. As far as UCF goes, that we read their schedule. You got to play better teams.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When they picked the four teams, this is before they played Auburn, I didn't think UFC should have been in.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, and you heard it from Q there, we went over UCF's schedule earlier on in the show, and I understand the frustration, right? From an average viewer standpoint, a team went 13-0. They're undefeated.
And they beat Auburn.
And they beat an SEC
team. Pretty good.
Now, the argument that I've heard some people make, it was like, listen, it was like the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And I was like, whatever. Like,
it was the Cotton Bowl.
Was it the Cotton Bowl? But whatever. It's a bowl. Yeah. It's a bowl that's not a playoff bowl.
Chick-fil-A Bowl.
It doesn't really matter which bowl it was.
Yeah, it wasn't the national championship.
It wasn't the national semifinal. It wasn't the Rose Bowl. It wasn't the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
It was the Cotton Bowl. Whatever it was.
So you're saying that Auburn was not up for it because yes. Auburn feel as if they would have, they should have been playing in the playoffs.
Correct.
So they took UCF light. A school with that many athletes from the state of Florida playing football and going undefeated, that's hard for me to look past that.
Yeah, but the thing is, I agree with that thinking.
It was the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Well, who played in the Cotton Bowl then?
Was that Michigan?
That might have been
Michigan. It was USC, Ohio State. It was Cotton
Bowl. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I do believe that when in bowls, the team that maybe had the higher aspiration and they don't get that bowl, a lot of times that team doesn't come to play.
Yeah, we've seen that.
They want to be in, you know.
So, anyway, but I get it from, again, an average perspective, average fan's perspective. Once he went 13-0, and they don't have a shot to get a national championship. It's bothersome.
No, it is tough. And then especially when you go out there and you beat Auburn, you beat the team that beat that beat Georgia and Alabama. Auburn beat both those teams this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you beat them in the bowl, so you're like, why not us?
Right.
But we don't, it's not going to be a game next Monday night. it's not going to be another one.
No football game Monday night.
Oh, that's going to be tough.
Hey, UFC had a parade, so.
Yeah, they did.
It's UCF. I'm being very clear. It's the University of Central Florida.
I think that's your man school, right? What's homeboy name? Baseball dude.
Jason Collette?
Jason Collette. Yes, I think Jason that's Jason Collette school.
I think this morning he said last thing or something. Before he went on to pitch some catches.
Yeah, so.
I get it if that's your alma mater and stuff and you're sour about that. Because, you know, the odds are you're probably not going to have that again.
No, it's going to be tough to get back to that spot, even though they do a good job and when they lost homeboy. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but it's tough to put that team in the playoffs.
What did you think of UCF throwing themselves a national championship party? The parades, the raises, everything.
I mean, why not? Listen, why not?
Hey, I'm always down for a party.
They're undefeated. They're undefeated. They beat Austin, Auburn in the bowl game.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm cool with it. You can call yourself the national champions all you want, but you're not the national champions. Yep. Like when they, like you know, like when John Calipari, the sanctions come down and they strip your Final Fours from you,
right.
Like that, which will be happening soon in Kentucky.
Sure.
When that happens, those are still your Final Fours. You feel what I'm saying? Like the Fab Five, that's still, you can't erase that.
Right.
So, but you also can't put something in the history books either.
Right. So like Reggie Bush still won the Heisman.
Yeah, Reggie Bush still won the Heisman. Yeah. Right. Even though UCF is saying they're the national champions, it's Alabama.
It's like yeah, that whole thing about taking wins away.
Yeah,
it's very stupid. It's very stupid.
We're going to pull the banner
You
down.
Are no longer the Heisman winner. Yeah. Sorry. That season never happened.
Yeah. So, like, does the guy who come in second, then does he become the Heisman Trophy winner?
Yeah, who wants it like 8 years later?
Yeah.
Right. So Matt Leinart won the Heisman now?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, man, who wants
Vince
it?
Young, I think it was.
Vince Young that year?
Was it?
Sure. I mean, maybe, yeah.
I Not believe Reggie it was. Bush. I remember his name got re-mentioned.
So there you go. It's very stupid. It's very stupid. Also, speaking of stupid, I read this story yesterday, and I wanted to bring it up to you guys. So Odell had a little conversation with Eli Apple, but instead of like texting him like a normal person, he tweeted him. And basically he was like, don't listen to the Twitter haters. You do you. You weren't good enough this year. I wasn't good enough this year. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, why are you tweeting at this?
Because he needs attention.
Yeah.
He needs attention. Odell Beckham likes attention. He likes to have attention. He likes to people talk about him and stuff like that. He's been away for too long when nobody's speaking about him. We've got the NFL playoffs going on, and nobody's really paying attention or talking about Odell Beckham. So this is the way for Odell Beckham to keep himself in the news cycle. He should work with LaVar Ball. LaVar Ball does a much better job of keeping himself in the news cycle.
Thoughts on that now?
Well, all right. Eli Apple should be cut.
Yeah, I agree. Eli Apple should be cut. Just read, as I said, the Giants interviewing Steve Wilks today to be their next head coach. He's the former defensive coordinator for Carolina, assistant associate head coach there as well. Wilks,
how do you think the interview goes? I mean, like, how's that process? Like, do they meet at what? At one, they meet in New Jersey, or do they meet at like a midtown restaurant? Like,
so I think it depends. Like for like the New England guys, everybody wanted to interview. Everyone went up to Boston.
Have to go up there.
Everyone went up to Boston. I think Wilks is making the rounds. Like he's going to be. I think he'll be at the facility today, is my guess. And this is the first one that co-owner Steve Tisch will also be in.
Oh, what so this is Fisher? Big right here.
Is Fisher?
Fisher's not there now.
Thank
Well, I'd like to see him with the Giants.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind that either.
I'm not a Giant fan. So.
No. So Wilks got. He's going to get both the big dogs today too, huh? So who would be the two big dogs to be in there, and the general manager
and
be in there?
Be there, yeah. Maybe the assistant general manager as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And they said if he blows him away, they'll offer him the job because Arizona's evidently extremely interested in him as well.
Yeah.
And that's interview is scheduled for tomorrow.
So the Giants may have a head coach by the end of the day.
If the Giants want Steve Wilks, if he gets out of New York, I assume he won't be the head coach
because
they won't let him. If they want him, they won't let him leave. Is my guess.
Maybe he's like, well, let me go see what they're talking about. I'll holler back.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would do that.
Of course, you should do that.
Yeah.
Unless you want to make unless sure you get the job. Like, yeah, you leave, like, if you leave, he might offer this to Josh McDaniels. So. Yeah.
Well, look, if it's the right deal, they offer you the right amount of money.
Of course.
Don't turn it down. But never make the first. Never make the first offer.
So he's got a situation.
Wise wisdom from Wall Street.
Well, he's got a situation where he's coming in, where he's familiar with the general manager already. Coming from that Carolina franchise, it's New York City. He's going to have a plan on what he's going to do with that offense. That's what I'd be looking to see when I'm talking to him. I know what you can do defensively.
Right.
We know what you can do as the head coach. What are you going
to
do?
Who are you going to hire? That's
exactly.
It was like Todd McVay when he went in and he had Wade Phillips lined up.
Exactly. Who are you going to hire? What do you want to do with this offense? What's your vision? What's your plan? Who are you going to hire to put this thing in the right perspective? And then that's going to be the key thing
Absolutely.
That they're going to have to talk about with him. What do you want to do with Eli Manning?
Yep.
You know, is it time to, you know, obviously the general manager will know more about what's going on with the salary cap and the draft board and stuff like that. But we do think a young quarterback is going to be there with the Giants.
Well, as Matt said, we had to do with Sean McVay. What are you doing? Defensive out of the ball. I'm sure I can get Wade Phillips. He did. And it worked out. And maybe Steve Wilks is coming in. I'm sure I can get Norv Turner.
I don't know if that's a winning.
Yeah, okay, cool.
When you say that in an interview, is the owner and the general manager going to be like, oh, yes, we get Norv?
No, Norv Turner's back.
Yes.
But that's the NFL, though. They like these rehires.
You're right.
The NFL, they're like, oh, we get a chance to work with Norv? Oh, yeah, sure.
That's what's crazy
Norv
to me.
Norv Turner was like a thing in the 90s. In the 90s.
The Cowboys offensive coordinator.
Yeah, in the 90s.
It's time to move.
It's 20 years ago. 25 years ago, depending when in the 90s.
I don't know what to do.
Oh, I can get Norv. Yeah.
I can get Pat Shermer.
You want Pat Shermer? You got to hire Pat Shermer. That's the thing.
That's a lot
that's
right
the
there.
Thing. Crazy, man. It's just crazy. Just I know that the world's all who you know or whatever, but the NFL is more like it's more of this.
It really is tight knit group in the NFL, and it's hard to break into that.
It's like that in a lot of industries.
Yeah.
It really is.
I get it. I get it. This is crazy.
I think you might have a good head coach though.
I think the Rams.
I think it might work. I don't know. I don't know too much about it.
So you're just happy. You're just upset it's not Jeff Fisher.
I
think that's what it comes down to.
Listen, he's been talked up for a few years now, so let's see what he's got.
I think the Rams might have helped break that trend a little.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember when I asked you about him, you said you like the dude, but you think he's in the year away. So he needed another year of the cycle first.
So you thought
he was going to be this year's Rooney Rule guy and then move on.
But yeah, that's the other guy. I think the guy in Green Bay, the guy that got fired.
The guy. Winston Moss is always the guy.
Oh, well, Winston Moss too. So I think he has a good shot to get this job with the Giants.
I think so, Tim. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll see what's up next on The Frenzy. We'll talk to the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. I'll get his thoughts on Steve Wilks. Stick around. More Roto Express coming your way right after.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts coming up next. The Fantasy Frenzy with CP, Matty Moe, and of course, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, who joins us right now. Not Burns. All right, there you go. Jake Seeley, what's going on, man? Do we have Jake?
Yeah, we do.
Jakey.
Greggy.
Yeah! What's up, Jake?
What's going on?
Not much, man. So I want to get your thoughts here. A couple things. Start with the last thing we were talking about. Steve Wilks and the New York Giants. It looks like Steve Tisch is going to be in this meeting because they want to wrap this thing up immediately following the interview and not let him get out of New York and into Arizona. What do you think of Steve Wilks potentially as the next head coach of the New York Giants?
I think it's more inspired than I expected. Honestly, after the Gettleman situation, I was expecting him to go with somebody with more of a history. And you saw the talk that they had. They said they wanted to make the same mistake they made before with McAdoo. So I'm interested in this. I think it's a positive sign for what they're looking to do going forward. And if the rumors of D. Filippino coming in as the offensive coordinator for the connection there, then I'm a little bit more excited than I initially was when they hired Gettleman. The last thing I wanted to see was a retread like a Mike Smith, or I didn't want to see Schwartz or anything like that. So I actually like where this is headed.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was very out on Wilks when I first heard he was the favorite as soon as Gettleman was hired. But I looked more into him. And, you know, he's basically the opposite of Ben McAdoo, right? Like, he's a hard-headed defensive guy that wants to be aggressive, and he wants to blitz, and he's not going to take nonsense from people. And I like that.
And that's what this team needs right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you need anything, you need somebody to get in control of this locker room and get things in straight order. I mean, it goes down from... I said this yesterday during On Target. If Odell Beckham is the voice of reason for somebody on this team right now,
yeah,
when it comes to like emotions and everything, like, you know things need to be fixed.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned John DeFilippo. The problem is the Eagles wouldn't let him interview last year to be the offensive coordinator for the Jets. I can't imagine they let him go interview to be the offensive coordinator of the Giants.
I don't know. There's a lot of talk out there that's saying they're going to let him this time because it's one of those team things. Like, the respect of, like, if he keeps saying no and it's kind of the bad look type of thing.
True.
The biggest concern I saw was that the Giants have a little bit of a concern in the back of their mind is that they bring in DeFilippo, that he's gone in 2 years for his own head coach.
Oh, yeah, he would be. DeFilippo would definitely be gone in 2 years.
You know, so DeFilippo. I'm adding syllables to his
name. Yeah, I don't know why I called him Filipino. He's definitely not Filipino. DeFilippo was one name I heard, Jake. You're not going to like the other offensive coordinator name I heard.
I'm sure that what?
So the rumor was that Steve Wilkes would bring in John DeFilippo and Al Holcomb on the defensive side of the ball, DeFilippo on the offensive side of the ball, and if not DeFilippo, they'd go back to Norv Turner.
Oh, God. So nobody can learn the playbook until week 10, and then, good God.
Yeah, and, you might as well, if you can't get a cool young guy like John DeFilippo, you get an uncool old guy.
Are you sure it's not like Norv Turner Jr. or something?
Oh, yeah. His son's name is Scott Turner. So
It's not his turn.
That doesn't work out.
I've been saving this, actually, for you, Corey, when we had Jake on this morning. So Jake had this tweet last night, and he has lots of tweets that I make fun of. But he had this tweet, which is just amazing. So Jake tweeted this at about halftime, this picture of Jalen Hurts, and said, "Hurts to see that, huh, Jalen?"
Jake is up for a social media award, so we probably should hide that.
That was after the first Tua touchdown. I was just having fun with it.
That's a good one.
Hurts to see that, huh, Jalen?
Oh, I know that was a dad joke.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was a dad joke. Speaking of dad jokes, Dad, what's coming up next in the Frenzy?
Oh, boy, coming up on the Frenzy, obviously, we'll talk about this national championship, get the opinions on that out there. We'll look at some of these selections from our mock and from the FSTA, and then me and Jake have to have this discussion about LaVar Ball and ESPN.
From Matt Modiga, Corey Parson, the All-In Kid, Jake Sealy, thanks to Don Burns, Chris Venture downstairs. My name is Greg Sussman. We will see you tomorrow on the Roto Experts.